All right, so today we're diving into some work by W.E.B. Du Bois.
Oh, cool.
But not his usual focus on America.
Okay.
We're going to be exploring his lesser-known fascination with Africa, specifically through excerpts from his book, The World in Africa.
Okay.
And we've got some historical maps from that era to help us visualize some of these concepts.
I like it.
And our mission is to uncover how Du Bois saw Africa's role in global history.
Okay.
And its connection to the fight for Black liberation.
All right. So what's so intriguing about Du Bois is that he didn't just see Africa as like a side interest.
Right.
It was absolutely crucial to understanding the global fight for Black liberation.
Yeah. And it's like he's saying you can't separate those struggles, right?
Exactly. Okay.
So right off the bat, Du Bois uses this abbreviation TT throughout the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, I was stumped.
Yeah.
Like, what does it even stand for?
You're not alone.
Okay.
Du Bois is actually using TT to represent the truth.
Okay.
And he's very, very passionate about separating the truth, as he sees it, from what he believes are deliberate lies that have distorted our understanding of history.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to Africa.
He's not missing words.
Nope.
So how does this truth play out in his view of Africa?
Well, Du Bois argues that the standard historical accounts we often get are basically Eurocentric propaganda that intentionally downplay or even erase Africa's achievements to maintain a certain narrative.
And he gets pretty specific too, right? Like, he brings up ancient Ghana and its flourishing gold trade.
Absolutely.
Centuries before Europeans ever showed up.
Exactly. And this is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
He highlights Mansa Musa's pilgrimage to Mecca in 1324.
Right.
A journey so lavish and overflowing with gold that it literally destabilized the Egyptian economy for years.
Wait, seriously. I vaguely remember learning about Mansa Musa.
Right.
But I never knew that the pilgrimage had such a massive impact.
Yeah, it's a prime example of how pre-colonial Africa was already a major player on the world stage. Wielding significant economic and cultural influence.
Okay.
And Du Bois uses this to challenge us to consider what else we've been missing in the standard historical narrative.
That's a really powerful point. It makes you realize how much we might be taking for granted.
Yeah.
Even in our own understanding of history.
Absolutely.
And Du Bois doesn't stop there. He jumps to the 19th century and the rise of colonialism, focusing on the Berlin Conference of 1884-85.
Right.
And he's absolutely furious about how European powers carved up Africa like a pie with zero input from Africans themselves.
Yeah, that's the infamous scramble for Africa.
Right, a blatant power grab with lasting consequences.
Precisely, Du Bois saw it as a stark example of how global power dynamics have been shaped by exploitation and disregard for non-European voices, something that continues to resonate even today.
Yeah, it's
it's a big one.
It's a big one for sure. So we're seeing how Du Bois connects these seemingly disparate events: ancient Ghana's gold trade, Mansa Musa's pilgrimage, the Berlin Conference.
Right.
It's like he's exposing this larger pattern of minimizing Africa's role in world history.
Absolutely.
But he wasn't just about uncovering these hidden truths, right? He was also deeply committed to action.
Oh, yeah.
To change.
Absolutely. And what's key here is that Du Bois really believed in the power of knowledge as a tool for dismantling these harmful narratives.
Right.
He argued that education had to be rethought.
Okay.
Rebuilt from the ground up
uh-huh.
to reflect a more accurate and inclusive understanding of history.
So it's like he's calling for an intellectual revolution.
Exactly.
A complete overhaul of how we approach knowledge itself.
He wanted to decolonize knowledge.
Okay.
And for him, that meant recognizing and centering the contributions of African people
right.
throughout history.
Right.
It wasn't about simply adding a few African names to existing textbooks,
yeah.
but about fundamentally changing how history is taught and understood.
That's a pretty radical idea, especially for the time period he was writing in.
Yeah.
But it makes you wonder how much our own understanding of history has been shaped by these limited perspectives, even without realizing it.
That's precisely Du Bois' point.
Okay.
He argued that until the narrative of Africa was rewritten, true progress and equality would remain elusive. He saw these skewed historical accounts as a foundation for ongoing oppression.
It's like he's saying we can't dismantle systems of oppression
right.
without understanding how those systems were constructed in the first place.
Exactly.
And that starts with challenging the stories we tell ourselves about the past.
Precisely. And that's why Du Bois' work is so relevant today.
Okay.
He forces us to look beyond the surface and grapple with the deeper roots of inequality, even in seemingly unrelated areas. For instance, how much do you think our local communities here in Southeast Houston have been impacted by these broader historical forces?
That's a great question. I think it's easy to get caught up in our immediate surroundings.
Right.
But Dubois reminds us that these local struggles are often connected to much larger global systems.
Right. And that brings us to another crucial aspect of Dubois' work.
Okay.
His emphasis on Pan-Africanism.
Okay.
He saw it as both a cultural and political force,
uh-huh.
a way to connect the dots between struggles in the United States,
okay.
the Caribbean, and on the African continent itself.
So it's not just about solidarity, right?
Right.
It's about recognizing the shared heritage and destiny of people of African descent worldwide.
Exactly. Dubois believed that the fight for Black liberation in America was intricately tied to the liberation of Africa from colonial rule.
Okay.
He envisioned a global movement where people of African descent would unite
uh-huh.
to challenge oppression and create a more just world.
Given the time period he was writing in the early to mid 20th century,
right.
this was a pretty radical idea. It makes you wonder what he would have thought about the state of Pan-Africanism today.
It's a fascinating question to consider, but what's important to remember is that Dubois wasn't just theorizing.
Right.
He was actively involved in the Pan-African movement.
Hmm.
He helped organize a series of Pan-African congresses
okay.
that brought together Black intellectuals and activists from across the globe.
Those congresses were groundbreaking for their time.
Yeah.
They provided a platform for discussing strategies,
uh-huh.
sharing experiences, and building a united front against colonialism and racism.
And their legacy continues to this day, inspiring generations of activists and scholars who are carrying on the fight for global Black liberation.
Okay.
It's a reminder that even seemingly small actions
right.
can contribute to a larger movement for change.
So we've got Dubois challenging historical narratives,
uh-huh.
advocating for decolonized knowledge and promoting Pan-African solidarity.
Right.
Is quite a lot to process, even for a deep dive like this.
Yeah.
But before we get overwhelmed, I think it's time to bring in those historical maps you mentioned.
Excellent idea. Sometimes a visual deep dive can help solidify things.
Right.
Especially when dealing with complex historical concepts. They say a picture's worth a thousand words, right?
Exactly. So let's take a closer look at some of these maps from Dubois's time.
Okay.
And see what they reveal about his perspective on Africa.
Let's start with this map of natural resources. What jumps out at you about this one?
Well, it's almost overwhelming to see the sheer abundance of resources across the African continent.
Yeah.
Gold, diamonds, copper, oil, rubber, you name it. Africa's got it.
It's got it.
It's no wonder that it attracted so much attention from colonial powers.
It's like a visual representation of the potential that drew them to Africa.
Right.
And that's precisely why Dubois included this map in his book.
Okay.
He wanted to illustrate the economic motives behind the scramble for Africa,
uh-huh.
showing how it was driven by a desire to control and exploit these valuable resources.
It also makes me think about how these resources have been extracted and exploited,
right.
often to the detriment of African people and economies.
That's a crucial point. Dubois argued that the wealth generated from Africa's resources
mm-hmm.
rarely benefited the people who lived there,
right.
further enriching those in power while perpetuating inequality.
Mm.
It's a pattern of extraction and exploitation that continues to this day, unfortunately,
right.
and one that we need to be mindful of even in our own local context.
It's a sobering reminder that these issues are interconnected. All right, let's shift gears now
okay.
and examine the map of ancient African empires. This one offers a stark contrast to the narrative of Africa as a dark continent.
Right.
The void of civilization, a narrative that Dubois was actively fighting against.
Exactly. It's incredible to see the vast empires that flourished in Africa.
Right.
Long before European contact, Songhai, Maligana, Zimbabwe.
Wow.
These empires had complex systems of trade, governance, and culture,
mm.
rivaling anything found in Europe at the time.
It really challenges that Eurocentric view of history and highlights the richness and diversity of African heritage.
And that's precisely what Dubois wanted to emphasize.
Okay.
He wanted to showcase the intellectual and cultural achievements of African civilizations,
uh-huh.
demonstrating that they were not just victims of history,
hmm.
but active agents shaping their own destiny.
It's a powerful message that I think resonates even more strongly today. Okay, finally, let's consider this map depicting various tribal groups across Africa.
Okay.
What's the significance of this one?
This map emphasizes the incredible diversity of the African continent.
Okay.
It's a visual reminder that Africa is not a single entity,
right.
but a tapestry of cultures, languages, and peoples,
uh-huh.
each with their own unique history and perspective.
It's easy to forget that, especially when we're bombarded with monolithic representations of Africa
right.
in the media and popular culture.
Right. Du Bois was acutely aware of this diversity
okay.
and cautioned against viewing Africa through a homogenizing lens.
Mm.
He recognized the richness and complexity of African cultures
right.
and argued for their respect and preservation. Something we should all strive for in our interactions with different cultures, even in our own local communities.
It's a message that resonates even today, especially in our increasingly interconnected world.
Yeah.
These maps have been incredibly insightful,
yeah.
giving us a visual understanding of Du Bois' perspective on Africa.
Indeed, they offer us a glimpse into how Du Bois viewed Africa, a continent, with a rich past, a complex present, and a future brimming with potential.
Okay.
But they also serve as a call to action, urging us to engage with Africa beyond simplistic narratives.
Right.
And to work towards a more just and equitable world.
And that brings us to the heart of Du Bois' message. It's not enough to simply understand the historical context.
Right.
We must act on that understanding
okay.
to create positive change.
That's where we'll pick up in part three,
okay.
exploring Du Bois' ideas about action and change.
I'm looking forward to it. Okay, so we're back for the final part of our deep dive into W.E.B. Du Bois and his perspective on Africa. We've explored his challenge to Eurocentric narratives, his emphasis on decolonized knowledge, and his powerful advocacy for Pan-Africanism.
And through it all, we've seen how Du Bois connected these seemingly disparate ideas to a larger vision of global Black liberation.
Exactly, but he wasn't just an academic theorizing from afar. He was a passionate activist who believed in fighting for justice right here, right now.
That's what makes Du Bois so compelling. He understood that knowledge without action is meaningless. He saw education and activism as two sides of the same coin.
Right.
Both essential for achieving liberation.
So it's not enough to just read his work and nod our heads in agreement.
Right.
We have to actually do something with that knowledge.
He urged people to translate their understanding into concrete actions that would challenge systems of oppression wherever they encountered them.
So what did that action look like for Du Bois? What were his strategies for change?
Well, he was a strong advocate for political organization and mobilization. He believed in the power of collective action to bring about systemic change, as we've seen with his involvement in the NAACP.
And his work extended beyond the United States. He was a vocal critic of colonialism and imperialism on a global scale, consistently advocating for the self-determination of all people.
He also emphasized the importance of economic empowerment, arguing that true liberation required economic justice and independence for people of African descent. He even explored the idea of creating cooperative economic systems that would challenge the exploitative structures of capitalism.
So he was thinking about solutions on multiple levels, political, economic, and social, recognizing that dismantling oppression required a comprehensive approach.
Absolutely. He was a multifaceted thinker who understood that lasting change required addressing interconnected systems of power.
And here's where it gets really interesting to me. Du Bois believed that the fight for Black liberation had to be a global one, that solidarity across borders was essential. It makes me think about how our actions, even at a local level, can ripple outwards and contribute to a larger movement.
That's a powerful insight, and that's where his vision of Pan-Africanism comes into play. He saw a future where people of African descent would unite across continents to challenge racism and colonialism, recognizing their shared struggles and aspirations.
He envisioned a world where the struggles of Black people in America were understood as inherently connected to the struggles of people in Africa, and the diaspora requiring collective action for a more just future.
That interconnectedness is crucial for understanding Du Bois' work and legacy. It's not just about achieving equality in one country. It's about creating a world where justice and freedom prevail for all people of African descent, regardless of where they are.
So we've unpacked Du Bois' idea about uncovering the truth of African history, challenging Eurocentric narratives, connecting those struggles to the fight for Black liberation globally, and ultimately taking action to create a more just world. Been a truly eye-opening deep dive.
It's a powerful reminder that these issues are not just historical artifacts, but ongoing challenges that require our attention and engagement.
Du Bois provides us with a framework for understanding these complexities, but he also leaves us with a challenge. He calls on us to not only learn from the past, but to use that knowledge to create a more just and equitable future right here in our own communities and beyond.
It's a challenge we can't afford to ignore.
Well said. That's all the time we have for today's deep dive. Thanks for joining us.